Hallelujah. They that trust the Lord shall not lack anything. It is good to believe in this mighty God. Faith begins with God. The seed that is given comes from God. If he does not plant that seed of faith in us, we will not be able to believe it. So God first appeared to man, touched his heart, made it clear to him, then he, man, will then believe that he is God, because no one has seen God. How many of you have seen God before? None of us have seen him before. If you've seen him, then he's shown some area and some part of him himself to you. Even Moses himself, who requested that he wanted to see God, God said, nobody will see me face to face and live and be alive. So Moses, if requested, I will do it for you. I will cover you. I will pass. Then you will see my glory or see my path. So after God's glory, we have encountered it in levels. I was quoting a scripture that was talking about a mountain moving faith. Because faith, holiness, they are very vital when we are dealing with God. Humility is good. That will help you to be exalted. But to meet and to face God and to know God and to see God, the Bible says without holiness, no man can see God. So no matter how I explain God to you, it takes holiness for you to be able to see what I'm talking from the Bible. Or else you will hear words put together about a certain God and it cannot create faith. So holiness is very vital. So whenever God wants to appear to his people, he will first ask them to sanctify themselves, to put themselves together, and to at least what is necessary to be able to meet God. And once they do that, God can appear, because his appearance, sin cannot stand it. He said, God, come down to this world. If God should come down into this world as he is, you see people who will die, including all of us. In his might, in his holiness, in his greatness, and you are outside Christ, you will not be able to survive. So God now sees us and meets us through his son, Jesus Christ. So holiness and faith are very vital, because without holiness, we cannot see God. And without faith, we cannot please him. But the most important thing about our life here is to please God and to see him. Isn't it? Why do you come to church? To get your breakthrough. Is it to get your breakthrough? Yeah, that's part of it. Some of us, we are afraid the devil will kill us. Because some of us, our family is no joke. So you have to find some place to hide yourself. That is very good. The Bible accepts that. He's a rock in whom that we have to run to go and hide. For there are arrows going left and right all over. Unless, even if your home, your family, there's nothing there, the devil is in the world. And he's roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he's hungry. Somebody in your workplace, somebody on the street, somebody in a car, somebody at home, somebody at Ajiringano, somebody at Frafraha, always moving to and fro, looking for someone to. So because of that, we need to build our faith. We don't fight the devil with our hands. Some say, oh, Obonsa Minsuru. Yes, Unsuru, no. It might be based on your faith in God. In fact, if God leaves you alone and the devil, you are no match. Go and ask Brother Job. The moment God removed himself from Job, it took some few days for Job to be the first billionaire to zero, a beggar. So sometimes the grace of God is upon us. Sometimes God's protection is upon us, and we fail to understand that the life we are living, even though you don't see God around, he is your protector. He is the one that keeps you. The scripture I read, it says that if you have faith like what? You will do what? You will say to what? It is great to have that kind of faith. Your faith speaks. He said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that's I think Matthew 17. And he had come to the multitude. A man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have what? Mercy on my son. For he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into fire and often in the water. What the demon wants is when there's water around, when there's fire around. The moment he sees fire, the thing comes. The moment he gets close to water, it comes. There are certain things that trigger that situation. And medical science will, or psychology will say is the mind, the source of it. This one, the source is not physical. It is demonic forces that are involved. So this disciple tried work and to exercise or to remove or to cast the demon out. And they tried like how we all try in some situation and we fail. How many have prayed and haven't got a result before? If I don't see your hand, you are lying in church. Okay. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not, they did what? They did what? They could not cure him. You gave them power. These are the same disciples. Sometimes he sent us and they will come and rejoice. Jesus, even the demons are subject to us. Now they met a demon. And Jesus said, look, don't be excited that demons, you say, go and they're screaming and people are falling and things like that. Don't be excited about that. Be excited about what is in you that created. Because your name must be written in the book of life. It is those people that God has given them that authority to cast them out. If your name is not in it, you are Satan's brother-in-law. Either you are a child of God or the child of the devil. So you need first to be assured of your salvation, that your name is written in the book of life. When your name is written in the book of life, that authority, you can exercise it. This is what you should be happy. Not one day because I asked you go and it works. I want you when I'm not even there, when I haven't even sent you, you can stand as a son and perform that duty. So, they failed woefully like how we all sometimes fail. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, what? Faithless. What does it mean of faithless? Less faith. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus, bring them. He didn't understand. So always you want me to spoon feed you. How long? You should be able to do it for yourself. And that's my essence of encouraging you to have faith for yourself. Because sometimes you call somebody to come and help you. You won't get him. Sometimes a doctor is taking care of you. You are going, they say he's traveled. Your doctor have traveled. What can you do? Now you are left with your faith. And Jesus rebuked the demon. And it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. So based on this, let's continue. Then the disciple came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus answered them, because of what? So they could have cast it out, isn't it? He said, the reason why you couldn't cast it out is not because God don't want the thing to go. It is because of your lack of faith. Because of your unbelief. While you are praying, your mind is telling you, this disease, it has never gone before. Sometimes you pray, you are praying and you pray for something. And in your mind, after you pray, you know you are expecting to see the same result. So he said, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from where? Move from where? Here to there. And it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. He said the only condition that you can move a blue mountain is your faith. But I know you can't have faith to move it. You know the mountain has been is there. I know for sure. I know you can't have the faith to see. And how does that faith come? It comes by hearing. God must sow a seed in your heart that this mountain of Aburi must move. When God placed that thing in your heart, it begins to develop. You begin to believe it, not based on your mind, but based knowing for sure that this mountain can move. Not presuming, not assuming that if I say it will go. So you cannot ask it to go until you have a basis. In fact, most of the prayers we pray, what we should pray is God to strengthen our faith. God to speak. That we can base our prayer on what God has said. Then when we hold on to what God has said, we surely know that it will be performed. Sometimes we are not sure. I declare, will God do it? The reason why you are not sure, you haven't heard. If God have told you I will do it, and impresses in your spirit that I will do it, there should be no fear. So my prayer is that your spirit will be very sensitive, even if it's the word of God. Sometimes you can even chew the word of God, but you can't believe it. You can quote it front, backward, sideways, every time. You know the word. Sometimes you quote and you'll finish it for me. You have very good memory to memorize scriptures. But is that scripture, has it moved from your mind to your heart? The doorway to your heart is through your mind. And the doorway from your spirit is through your mind. So as you hear, is it not the mind? The sense of hearing. But you have to understand, it's only the heart that understands. The mind may analyze it. So Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. If you have faith like, I call it mountain moving faith. It can be small. That seed, that faith must come from God. And when that faith comes from God, you don't just sit down. You develop it until it's able to move a mountain. That's why we have little faith. We have less faith. We have strong faith. We have all kind of faith. Each one of them have a work they could do. There was Jesus, when he went to his hometown, Jesus, could not heal. Jesus the healer could not do any mighty works in his hometown. Well, everybody knows him as Mary's and Joseph's son. Sometimes those who are very familiar with you don't believe who you are. They know him, Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The same unbelief has come. He did not do it because of what? Their unbelief. When faith comes, it gives God a chance to work for you. So, he says, with God, is it not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? His brothers, who? James, Joseph, Simon, or Simon, and Judas. So, Jesus had brothers. Mary gave birth. He and Joseph. And have sisters. So they mentioned that. So they will tell you your background. Your classmate will tell you that, this guy, he is the one they say he's going to be a consultant. You know, there are some people who are in high position, but when you were at school, you were better. The exam, you are far. And the guy is struggling in the middle. Now he's at the top, and you don't know how you can trust this guy. This guy who is, he's not the break at school. So you find it very difficult to accept his leadership. Familiarity. But those who don't know the guy, they think he's great. So never be familiar. We can even be familiar with God. Can come to church and be familiar. Oh, before you realize, you take spirituality very light. That's one thing I'm afraid of. I know how. You should know how to respect gifts in people. Sometimes, when we Dr. Otabel, we've been friends from, I knew you when you were 19 years. He's not a 19-year boy that I knew who is today. He's now my boss. I was older than you, and I was in the same fellowship with you. But God has placed a special something on you, a grace. So now, if I meet you, don't treat me like the yao, you know. And I won't call you like the Mensa, which I used to call you, but some of you. Oh, Charlie! Hey, how are you? A bad day, I'm a awkward. Oh, Jesus, hey, we've been playing with this boy. Oh, Yesu, couple of Yesu. Oh, person, my Jesus, high five. I say, oh, the guy is working me. I go, oh, this guy. Ah, Charlie, this carpenter. Oh, this people, they're just following this carpenter boy. He didn't know. We at school, he wasn't doing well. So, God, I want that anytime you come to church, forget about your familiarity with God and know that he is God. Come with respect, with awe. Worship him. So, he said, because of your lack of faith, he, Jesus Christ, did not do any mighty work except some few. Now, he could do no mighty work there. He could do what? Except that he laid his hands on few sick people and healed them. He didn't have that massive healing in that place. He just laid his hand on what? On some few sick people and healed them. One, I can assume that those who wasn't healed didn't bring the sick. They couldn't believe that Jesus, Mary's son, could heal them. So it's only few who said, let's go and try this guy and see. We heard that the guy he could heal. So they brought some headache. I said, man, from headache, I'm going to say, no cry. So probably the people couldn't believe to bring the sick. So the few that brought the sick, that is me who is saying it. What the Bible said that, except the few people he laid on. So I also believe that it's the few who believed and came. So the few that believed and came, he laid his hand on them and they got healed. Faith is vital. and very important in our life. When you read Matthew 21, verse 21 to 22, there is what I call a tree moving faith and a mountain moving faith. There are faith that moves us. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree." He spoke to a fig tree just by words. Like some of you, how your words are powerful. Some of you, your words are powerful when it comes to cursing. You are like Balaam. But Jesus spoke to a tree, a hypocrite. And the tree, the moment he spoke to it, nothing happened. That's how faith works. It starts from the root. When you exercise faith, it does not solve the problem on the surface. It kills it from its root. It deals with it completely. Some medicine or some medication, they only suppress the disease. They suppress the virus. But he removed the source of it. What is causing it? So he spoke and said, "No man will eat your food." And the disciple heard it. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he came and found nothing on it but leaves. And said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately, the fig tree withered. But they didn't see it. When they were coming, the disciples saw it. And they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away?" So Peter was there. He said, "Master, the fig tree that you curse, look at it, it's dead." And Jesus gave us this lesson, that you won't only do to this fig tree. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you curse has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have what?" Say, "Have faith in God." It's very important to have faith in God. Most of us have faith in different things. We have more faith in our salary than in God. We say, "Oh, Sofo, I know my salary by all means." At the end of the 2 weeks or a month, some of you are paid 2 weeks, a month, it will surely, dully come. It has never come across your mind that that money could not come one day. You haven't seen the money, but you believe it will come. And who will faith? You believe that it will surely happen. Why? Because by experience, you've been getting it every month. You don't know anything could have happened, and your company will not have the money to pay you. Or? But has it crossed your mind before? No. Because you have faith that the money will come. So by the time the month is getting closer, you are making your budget. Sometimes, half of the month, you have to start making your adjustment. Our faith in physical things, our faith even in pastors, is more stronger than our faith in God. Meanwhile, Jesus said, "I am with you always." Where is Jesus? But you are not aware that he is with you. Because you see the pastor all the time. He said, first, have faith in God. Your faith can work when it is embedded in God. Because he is the one doing it. Once you have faith in him, then you know the ability of God and what God can do. Once you know God can do it, you know, it's not everybody who promised you that you can believe. How many of you know that? Somebody was going to, he went and proposed, at the end, he didn't marry the person. He said, "But you promised me." He said, anybody promise? I made a promise. Along the line, me, I saw that. I don't like it. That is human being. You can't put your trust in men. Men can change their mind at any time. But when God speaks, his integrity is tied to his word. Has he said it? Has he said it? And will he not do it? He doesn't promise based on feelings. Thank you. Sometimes people, when they feel somewhere, they promise. When they are happy, they begin to promise. Hey, hey, sister, hey, my boy, my school fees, my tia, my sister. Then when he gets home and calculate his salary, then the reality dawns on him. He sees that I don't have what it takes to take care of my family, pay my other decent, and pay the school fees in addition. It means that the promise will not come. But God's resources are not limited. When you have faith in God, his resources not limited, his power not limited, his presence not limited. He cannot be limited. The only thing that can limit God is your faith. So the first thing is to have faith in God. Trust him. Trust him. When you have faith in him, then based on your faith in him, you have a backing. For surely when you have faith in God, you can then say, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be what? Because you know that God can move the mountains. God can take this building and go and put it in some place. He won't do it. Or some of you take it to your house. It is also based on his word, based on what he wants to do. So if you go along with God's word, it's very easy to get miracle and signs on your way. Then if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, there are two things. You say it. So whatever faith you think it will work, you see the possibility in your heart. If there's no possibility in your heart, you are deceiving yourself. Be thou moved. But all of us know it's not possible for a mountain to move into the sea, isn't it? So there's no way you can tell mountain go. In your heart, you know. I heard somebody try to test. He said he saw some tree under his, her house. He said, hey, this tree, be thou moved into the sea. The next morning, he came out and was it. The tree was the same. I thought as much. He didn't believe it. So what she said, she knew that it won't happen. And it didn't happen. So God didn't fail her. Her faith failed her. So that's how we are. We pray for our sickness and we expect to see it tomorrow morning. So faith, it moves mountains. It can move trees, uproot trees. It can kill and destroy things. Luke chapter 17, verse 6, it talks about another tree. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. You see, with faith, what it means is that with faith, everything is possible. If we exercise faith in God, everything is possible. When you read Mark 9, 23, oh, I love that scripture. Jesus said to them, if you can believe, when you use if, what does it mean? It's conditional. So if you can believe, it won't be possible. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. When you walk in real faith, you are on the level of possibility. Faith breaks the natural law. It was that faith that made Peter walk on water. The natural law says that you have to sink. If you attempt to walk, those who can walk, if you like, go and try at the Atlantic Ocean, you will sink. But faith makes you walk and break the natural law. So that is why we need faith. So when you have cancer, faith can break that natural chain and reverse it. When a man is dead for 4 days, 4 days dead, even if the heart revived, the brain is dead. And a man shouted, Jesus came. He believed and said, Lazarus, come out. And it destroyed the natural law of death and put the supernatural law of life at work. Faith will make a man who has not been trained as an army, a soldier, gather few people. Even with his 30-something thousand people, he was afraid. And God reduced the number into hundreds. Faith says that it is not man going to fight. The human mind says that one to one. But God's spirit says that you don't need one to one. You need me. Have faith in me. And Gideon destroyed the very people who were tormenting him and torturing them for many years. The same faith, David, will let David take a natural stone to go and face a well-armored, well-equipped army. Ill-equipped man against a well-equipped army. The natural mind is that David will be crushed. But by faith, he operated on the supernatural level. And supernatural will always subdue the natural. I can count and count and count and count. Faith is the one that will tell the Hebrew boys that don't bow. And the king came and said, look, I want to advise you. I want to give you a second chance. You just bow, and I will give you a chance to leave. He said, king, he said, go home and go and think about it. So when you go there, you think about the fire, those that has burned, and he said, hey, why don't we bow? Then tomorrow we'll go and confess. I said, God, we are sorry. We are under pressure. Everybody under pressure. When you are under pressure, they said, we are not going to go home for the devil to throw some missile in our mind. We already know faith knows what to do. When you are operating in faith, you don't think twice. You know this is the will of God. This is what God can do. This is what God wants to do. He said, hey, king, we respect you. Our God, whom we serve, he has said in his word that he will preserve and protect his servants. We are his servants. He said, we will walk through fire. We will walk through water. We shall not be overcome. We shall not burn. So we know in our heart that God is with us here. Yeah, hey, gentlemen, remember your God was there when I captured your people. I went to your place and went to his temple, took all this. Look, if that God could save, why couldn't he save your fathers? And why didn't you stay in your home? There are reasons the devil would throw things at. He said, look, if God is working, why did it happen to this pastor? Why did this thing happen? And he will give you a catalog of failures. But there are also catalog of successful people. He said, oh, king, we are not careful to answer you. We are not going to even think twice. We know the answer. The answer is we won't bow. We know faith always knows. Faith knows the outcome. Faith knows that God can do it. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." These boys, I love them. 17. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is what? Say able. Say able. That God, Jehovah God, has the ability. There are some they can only promise but don't have what it takes to fulfill the promise. But when God said, "I will preserve you, protect you," he has what it takes. Say, king, we are not tempted twice. We know that the God whom we serve has the ability to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace. It has burned many things. It has burned many people. But us, those that you burned, didn't have a God. We have a God. He can deliver. And he will deliver us. You see, it's definite. He didn't say, "Oh, he may." He said, "And he will." And that God who has the ability to deliver will deliver us. King, you put us there and see. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. They were not in a limbo. He said, yes, one, our God can deliver. Two, he will deliver me, us. Some of you know God can deliver, but you are not sure whether he will deliver you. You know God can help, but you are not sure whether he will help you. The assurance of knowing that God wants to help you is what I call faith. He said, look, we are not even ready. He said, even if he doesn't, we know he will, but for your sake. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the God's image which you have set up. And the king was very angry because no leader wants to be when he makes a law, then you break it. And not defiant, look at this great king and tell him that I won't. Even you who are fathers, if your son, your daughter stands and tell you, "Mama, daddy, I won't go." You see how you feel? Hey, it's just a modern child right. You can't say that to your father. Hey! They looked in the king's face and told him. And the king was angry. He said, now, I'm not even going to burn you small. I'm going to burn and melt your bones. Then the king was full of fury and the expression on his face changed. Faith can change the enemy's face. Once you're prayed in faith, the enemy is in trouble. His face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. So this is not an ordinary heat. They were going to burn them. They have never burned anybody with such heat before. But the way the king was angry, he said, look, increase the fire. That even when the God comes, that God himself will burn. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He just brought the firemen. Firemen, the executioners, come, bind them. And they bound them. to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their word. See, they won't leave you. The coat can help burn faster. They are turban. The fire can catch it and get it. So they don't want to leave anything of yours. They will burn with your coat, your everything. And their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Faith at work. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. The executioners were executed. You see, the more he's angry, the more he's going to kill himself. Yeah, like some of you, some people, I know somebody. He struggled, bought a TV. But Unyakuma. Then the wife did something and he was so angry. They were watching. He said, "Go, I want to watch football." The man, the wife said, "I want to watch." The man said, "Hey, is it you who bought it or I who bought it?" The woman said, "Anything that you bought belongs to us." Yes. The man said, "I will show you." And the man was so angry, he picked the TV, it was black and white, and put it on the and hit it on the floor. Bra! And then me sad on the your toy. After he broke it and he cooled down. Sometimes anger is not good though. Your own television you struggle to buy. Your anger, he broke the thing. Now you too, you can't watch the ball. And not only that day, forever. Did you, how you are now going to save small to go and buy the same thing? Satan is bad, though. He will make you act foolishly. So anytime you want to act, sit down and think that, look, what the action I'm taking, will it benefit me? Will it benefit God? Will it benefit others? They were bent, and the people they threw inside, finally, look at it. And the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Oh, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He said, "Look, I see how many men." Because he has said that anytime you act in faith, I will be with you. Yeah. The fourth man, anytime you act in faith, the fourth man comes to your aid. He will not leave you alone to be in the problem. He will be with you in the problem. So you are not alone. I see four men loose, not bound. You can't get the fourth man to be with you and you still be bound. I've made the mistake of my life. I see four men in the fire, walking in the midst of the fire. They were talking, "How high? High." So he himself was afraid. But he can't go there and bring them. If he dare, he will burn. "Look," he answered, "I see four men. Huh? Loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. Look, no matter where the devil put you, with faith, it cannot hurt you. Everybody will go in and be hurt and be destroyed. You will go in and come out stronger than before." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. He couldn't go there. And spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servant of what? God, the man has changed his confession. When you act in faith, it turns people to that God. He then called them servant of what? The Most High. Not any God, but the Most what? Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Come out and come here. If I were them, I'd say, King, come inside. Now I say, oh, no, blah, 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 blah. Like you see, that the fire that protects, that same fire can destroy. By faith, the fire cannot destroy you. Unbelief, the fire will burn you. And they saw this man whose bodies the fire had no power. Faith put you on the supernatural level. So fire did not have power to destroy people who stand in faith. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of the fire was not on them. Wow. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, now the man had become a Christian. What did he say? Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servant who trusted. Who did what?
Trusted.
Who did what?
Trusted.
Who did what?
Trusted.
Who did what?
Trusted.
So the key word is trusted. When you trust God, God will not let you down.
Yeah.
Who trusted in what? In him. And they have what? Hey, I love this part. They have what? They have frustrated. Look, when you trust God, you frustrate people's evil intention. They will try, they won't sleep at night, they will plan and do everything, but they themselves will get frustrated. Faith can frustrate the enemy. Christians shouldn't be the one who should be frustrated. Our faith should frustrate the world. Don't let the world frustrate us. Let's put our faith in God and frustrate the world. Therefore, the king then made a decree. The people, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, caused the king to make a decree. I make a decree. I love that. That any people, nation, or language who speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made as an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Oh, just scream, just scream, just scream. Indeed, there is no other God who can deliver like this. I don't care what how many gods that are in this world. There's only one Jehovah. There is no any other God who can deliver like this. If that is your God, stand and worship him. Stand and praise him. Yes. Shout to that God. Shout to that God. We must know. Sometimes we don't know that God. Hey. If you know this God, the God here, if we really know him, you won't be afraid of anything. But there's no any other God who can deliver like him. There's no any other God who can prosper you than this. There's no any other God who can cause a miracle and heal you like this. Other gods can do some things, but this is the only God. You know that Egyptian gods, they try to tend the snake. They try to do the same thing like God. But anytime they try, God, Moses, Aaron, snake, swallow all. It's not one snake. It's a magician. Each one of them brought his underwear. Plenty snakes against one. And that one rod swallowed all of them. It doesn't matter how many witches, how many troubles that follows you. What you need is the Almighty God, the Most High God, who can deliver. There's no other God like him. God bless you.